CliffCentral.com.
No more bullshit.
You want answers?
On the Gareth Cliff Show.
Sounded like a radio show with some jingles. I feel so stupid even playing that. I mean, you know, 7 years ago, that was what I was doing. It was my bread and butter. Ridiculous. Now I feel like an idiot when I hear it. All right. Good morning, everybody.
Does it make you feel like you're looking back at those embarrassing matric dance photos?
Exactly. Exactly the same feeling.
With the perm and your dress is wearing satin.
Yeah.
You're wearing a purple shirt for no reason.
Yeah. Well, you've got like a terrible haircut and, you know, you took advice from your best friend because you thought they were cool, but you looked like a douchebag.
Yeah. Everyone had spiky hair with frosted tips looking like the sixth member of NSYNC.
God, that's exactly it. Exactly.
Is it called a corsage that looked like a mini forest on your wrist?
Yeah. The girls would wear them on their wrists. The guys would wear them on their jackets, right? On the lapel. Oh, God, how stupid.
I just loved it all of the early 2000s.
I don't think you probably didn't look shit for your matric dance. You probably looked really good because you have a sense of style and, you know, you're comfortable in your own body. Like, I was such a gangly, nerdy, uncomfortable teenager. It was ridiculous.
I know.
Jesus Christ. I'm surprised anyone would kiss me. I mean, I had girlfriends. I had two girlfriends in high school. But when I look back, I'm like, those two must have been fucking blind.
Oh,
I bet you both of them are so visually impaired now they can't make it down the corridor without smashing into something. Probably got glasses on that are as thick as the bottom of a 2-liter Coke bottle that's made of glass.
Wow.
Were you over 6 foot, like in grade 11?
I was, I mean, I must have been around about the height I'm at now. So yeah, must have been.
Oh, that's tough. Because you don't get that man body till about 23, 24.
I was like a locust.
Like Jeronki.
Exactly, Jeronki. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Tough.
Like a witch.
Tough.
As modest as I can sound explaining this,
yeah.
I look pretty good for my
don't be modest. I already said that, and I'm not surprised.
I personally designed what I wore. Yes, I even had a photo shoot for it with my partner.
Fabulous. How did that work that you designed your own outfit?
Yeah.
How?
Well, I just designed the suit jacket because I just wore black pants and I think I wore a black shirt as well, but I just designed this white suit jacket and with this black trimming.
Oh my God. You see, you had such a sense of style
that you could roll up the sleeves and there was black lining underneath so I could push the sleeves up. So it was like the smart casual look.
I looked like I'd hired an ill-fitting suit.
Oh.
I hope everyone's destroyed their pictures of me.
Oh, now we have to find it. Please find it for us.
I'll have to look.
It's tough for tall guys.
Well, I've got to complain about something to start the show. I wasn't going to complain right at the beginning, but, you know, this IOL, the newspaper group, independent group online, and we always credit them.
Get it off your chest.
You know, whenever I use a story from them in the five things, you know, I credit EWN or ENCA or IOL or Times Live or whoever it is, even though I really don't have a lot of time for most of their journalists because they are complete rank amateurs. They really are. And the amount of insight that their supposed analysis gives us is zero. It's like looking through murky water. But IOL did an article on the response I gave on the show on, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, to all of the noise on social media about my letter to the president. And the article itself wasn't so bad. So at least I know they listened to me because they're listening right now. So thank you for the article. It's good. But then don't take my podcast and cut it up like it belongs to you and then post it on your site as a clip from IOL. Link people to the fucking podcast because that's my business, you morons. I don't go and grab your article and just pretend it's mine. Imagine if I copied and pasted an IOL article and said, this is from me. It's my own work. I don't credit anybody. I don't send you to my site. I mean, how dare you? Doesn't that drive you crazy? I need a lawyer to check
along with using your personal image from your Instagram.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I feel like social media has gone beyond anyone trying to own it. So I don't even have one of those disclaimers on my Instagram. You know, these pictures belong to me. It may not be reproduced. I had that for a while, and then I thought, what an idiot I am, because this is social media. Everyone shares it. But please don't steal my podcasts. Edit them to the length that you think they should be, and then pretend that they live on your site. Just send people to mine, and they can hear it in context.
Or just embed it. Embed our...
Thank you. Embed it. And you can do it with time codes now. So, you know, you can have it start playing at like 7 minutes so that you don't have to force people to listen to the whole thing. There is no excuse. It's just really, really sloppy. And while I didn't hate the article, I thought that that was very sloppy. Anyway, it's off my chest, and I'm happy.
Do you feel lighter?
And you know, I'd rather they used my social media pictures, frankly, Sia, because then they won't use hideous pictures like my matric dance picture or pictures from their archives. Because the newspapers, do you remember how I used to get? I knew whenever anyone said to me, oh, you're in the newspaper, and when newspapers were still a thing, before really the internet was the big deal that it was up to 10 years ago, before that, people used to actually pick up a newspaper. I mean, I've got like scrapbooks full of clippings. And they would always use, and look, I was not a very photogenic, I still am not a very photogenic person. So to get a good picture of me is difficult work. You need like a Hollywood special effects team.
Oh, come on.
You do, and you need people up on ladders, and people with spotlights, and people with welding torches, and there need to be a team of people, you know, in hazmat suits. It's a major operation to get me to look like anything on a picture. But these guys would use the worst, where I look like Nosferatu. They would use that picture, the one from underneath with monster lighting. And, you know, I just looked so terrible in all these pictures. And they'd love the worst pictures. There were only about 3 good ones, but they never used those. Always used the terrible ones.
You need to call Beyonce's people to delete photos off the internet.
I don't know, hey. I mean, I've seen some pretty horrible pictures of Beyonce, so maybe it just happens to everyone.
That, I didn't give you an invitation to just take a stab at her for no reason. No invitation at all.
Bulela, what would make your lockdown worse, a Beyonce song?
Just the fact that you said it, my day has taken a downturn.
And there is a new Beyonce song. Thank you very much.
What does it also go? So like someone's plaiting her pubic hairs to.
What?
Wow.
That's what she sounds like when she sings.
Save that for Aha or someone else.
It's not just me and Bulelo think this. There are loads of very, very smart people. I mean, one of the people I really respect when it comes to opinions on music is Randall Abrams, right? And Randall says to me, he reckons if you did a blind test on Beyonce and pretty much anyone in the world, she'd lose because she's that bad a singer.
How is she a bad singer?
She's a terrible
singer.
You
might not like her, but she's not a bad singer.
She's a bad singer.
Well, if you compare it to Mariah Carey.
I'm not saying I don't
Carey.
Like her. I don't have a problem with her. I've never met Beyonce. She might be an absolutely sterling human being. My problem is never with the person unless I've met them and I know that they're an asshole. Beyonce, the problem with Beyonce is the singing. That's always, go back in any clip where I've ever criticized her, it's always been about how awful her singing is. It's not about her.
Do you remember?
I don't mind the way she looks. I mean, she's beautiful. I don't mind the way that she's, you know, I've always said, like, it's a great thing for her that she married Jay-Z.
You mind her baby's name, though?
Well, it's Blue Iris. I mean, what kind of a name is that?
It's outrageous.
So she's named after, like, Blue Iris is named after a 70-year-old porn star who died, like, 5 years ago. The oldest porn star in the world. Who names their child after a porn star, huh? What's wrong with her?
Yes, I'm okay. Never going to win this.
And an old porn star at that.
I'd rather Elon Musk's baby name then.
No, I think that's stupid too. We discussed this yesterday. Maybe Elon Musk is just high as fuck. You think he's he's doing shrooms or something when he names that child?
He's screwing with the world. That's all he's doing. Do you not remember President Obama's first inauguration? And Beyonce sang Etta James's At Last?
Oh, God, you don't think
that was a beautiful performance vocally now? No sequence outfit, no dancing, just vocally? Anyway.
I'll do you a favor. I'll go and listen to it again. And I will pretend I'll do exactly what I just described. I'll do a blind test where I'll listen to it and try and be as objective as possible.
The problem for
Beyonce
give
you a rendition, though.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
The problem for her is?
Is that we've heard Aretha Franklin sing now. We've got the information of what outstanding is. So we know her singing's nonsense.
And
but at the
frankly,
same time,
Etta James. I mean, it doesn't get much better than Etta James doing At Last. That's why that is the gold standard.
Yeah, and we've got, the best around is probably Mariah.
And Sia, let me tell you something. I loved Destiny's Child. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think this proves that I'm objective. I loved Destiny's Child. I thought those three women together, it was her, it was Kelly, and that other one who nobody ever, no one ever talks about. That other one who's, I think she's...
Poor Michelle.
I think she's working in the salt mines now or something because she has disappeared. Anyway, those three could they do a song. I don't know whether they wrote any of those songs. I don't care. I remember... Your love got me looking so crazy right now. That was Beyonce on her own, but it had like a. Do you remember when they did "Ladies Leave Your Man at Home"? The party's full of ballers and the town full of grown. And it's 11:30 and the club is pumping,
jumping.
I don't know what it is. A great song. Great song.
Jumping, Survivor, Bills.
Loved it. Yes, Bills. What a great song. I don't need you. Good songs, you see?
What's funny is Michelle's the best singer of the lot. She became a massive gospel star.
Bulela, you're full of it. No one knows Michelle. Don't be ridiculous. You just Googled that now. Pretend you know her.
No. I don't listen to gospel music. I just remember that coming up because, I don't know, I don't really like Beyonce. But what I love about Beyonce is her business savvy. You have to give her credit.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's 100% true. All right. There's a lot that you guys want to talk about this morning. I know because Sia briefed me on this stuff. So Sia's mother went with would you go with your sister or did she go with you or did she go
was
on her
out,
own? Or?
Yeah, she was out shopping with my dad a couple of days ago.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, all was good and well, and it was just a normal day out. They were just going to get some groceries. And when she came back, you could swear that the world was ending.
Shane, was she in tears?
I think, you know what, if she continued with her dramatic note, she could have been in tears, but I didn't understand why. Up until she explained that she was talking to one of the people who worked at the grocery store. And she was asking for help. And the guy turned around and said, oh, yes. Okay, go.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's rough.
And that is just a stab at her heart for, you know, 58 turning 59 years old. She's like flabbergasted. Like, who does he think he is? I am not his go-go.
I know where you get. Now we know where you get it from your mom.
So now I'm wondering, what are the stages of aging and when do you accept that you're finally old?
Well, I think it happens. The two things that I would say you definitely know you're old and you've accepted and you've come to terms with it. Number one is when you accept the pensioner discount.
Oh.
So if you go to the shop and they say to you, excuse me, grandma or gogo or old lady or whatever they want to call you.
Yes.
Silver fox. And they say to you, here, would you like to take the pensioner discount? Then if you say yes, if you're going to take the money for being old, then you're old. You're accepting it, right? So that's number one. Number two, I think when It happens to all of us, right, on a daily basis when you look in that mirror and you go like, oh, wow.
Mm.
That's when you know.
We should actually ask Leanne about that pensioner card. Remember, she says she has one. She has one from Spa.
Oh, Leanne is terrible. It's the worst. Only Leanne would use a pensioner's card in her 40s. Oh.
She should feel ashamed.
Oh, she's no shame at all, huh?
Yeah,
because she's also avoiding, my mother's currently avoiding the talk of her retirement, which is in less than 2 years.
And your mum is like Madonna.
She's clearly so in denial right now. Whenever we're trying to bring it up, you know, because yes, she's been responsible and she's worked all her life. But, you know, now is not the day and age where you can completely, completely sit at home and do nothing. So we're like, dude, what are you going to do after you retire? Can you at least like find a new hobby? Do you want to sell things on the side? How do you want to still be a productive human being, not just a lump on the couch for the next, you know, 20 years if you're lucky? And she doesn't want to have that conversation either.
Is she employed by someone else or what's going on there?
Yeah, she's a teacher.
Oh, wow. That's tough.
So right now is just avoiding the retirement conversation completely.
Yeah, that's tough. Don't force her to that conversation. She'll hate you if you do.
Why?
She's got to do it in her own time. And plus, what's it got to do with you fucking kids? Just leave her alone.
I'm trying to find a nice
word. Have some respect.
She's not aging. She's more and more experienced.
Yeah, just do not push it. You're living under her roof right now again, remember? This is the first time you've been living under your parents' roof for a while. Don't get cocky.
Good point. My cereal may be poisoned after this.
I try not to, you know, I'm not an ageist, I think. Sometimes I say things about old people and I think, oh my God, that's so ageist and what a horrible thing to do. But I try not to be because I don't think that age really has that much implication anymore. I mean, I mentioned Madonna just now, but there are better examples. And we always talk about Jane Fonda. And, you know, we talk about guys like George Clooney, who's like, he's an older man. I mean, Brad Pitt's an older man. And these guys are as vital as ever. But, I mean, look at Denzel Washington. He's an old man, right? But wow. I mean, who wouldn't want to be Denzel Washington now? He looks more refined and you know, he's graceful. He's got like that kind of old people are just, and when I say old, I mean anyone beyond like 50. They're just so comfortable in their own skin, usually. And that's enviable. But I don't know.
I think
it's the way people behave. It's not really what they look like.
Yeah, but I think it's a bit of a shock to the system when you're getting to a next level or the next chapter in something. You know, when you leave being a teenager and you're going into your 20s or you're done with, you know, being classified as the youth, even though that's questionable in South Africa at 35 and you're going into your 40s.
Yeah.
You know, now you've been working all your life and you have to retire. I think when you are switching stages, that might be a lot to digest.
Well, Ben is the oldest man in the world, and he's been like that since he was 20. You know, so it's in your head. Anyway.
So my highlights package to aging was I went back to my 10-year school reunion. You know, we're all standing around. And here you have
guys.
When was
that? Oh,
when I was 28. Well, what's that? 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I had guys coming up to us and saying, "Hi, sir." Like, oh, we wow. turned around, what the hell are you talking to? And it was us.
I think
and we
teacher.
Were school blazers.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so like, that was like, oh, yeah, we're old now to them. And these guys are towering over us, by the way. I mean, kids now are massive in Matric.
Yeah, they're feeding them full of steroids so they can be in the first rugby team.
No, I didn't say that.
No, they are, though. I mean, there's no way. Listen. The fittest guy at school with me in matric, the guy, let's even not say the fittest, let's say the biggest guy at school with me in matric would be dwarfed by the biggest guy in matric right now. And don't tell me that's just slow evolution. There's something going on, man.
And Bulelo, you can't deny it when the captain of the first team rugby is balding. Like, something's got to give there.
Shame. But, you know, some people bald so young. I've got one or two friends, and they have no hair, or they have very wispy, very thin hair, and you could see it's the TikTok, you know, the time is counting down. They're going to look like Mr. Burns soon, and there's nothing they can do. I've heard that there are these surgeries people can go for, and there are pills you can take and everything else, but Jesus, that's a horrible thing to have to look in the mirror and deal with.
I have the balding gene.
You have the balding gene?
I do, from my grandfather. So, TikTok, I am on the clock.
Apparently, though, if you're not bald by, or you're not starting to bald by your early 30s, it's never going to happen. Is that true? That's what I've heard. And apparently you get those genes from your mother's side, not your father's. But that sounds like nonsense to me, because you get it from both.
I don't know where you get it from.
All these wives I've got it. There are all these like stories about where the baldness comes from, and you know.
I'm sure we have some 39-year-old male listeners going, okay, if I just hold it on, yeah, hold up for a few more months. Year,
yeah. Guys, you got to let it go, though. Just shave your head. Like, it looks ridiculous when you're balding and you try and, like, do a comb over. Like, just let it go. Be comfortable with it.
Bolelo, some people have such horrible-shaped heads. Like, I know I would look disgusting. I look horrible enough as it is. I would look disgusting if I had a bald head.
I've got an alien-shaped head.
What's that, Sia?
I don't believe that. You've never shaved your head bald before.
Telling you my head looks a stupid shape. I can just tell.
Is it a feeling?
I just got a feeling. I have a feeling I would look like a deformed bowling ball.
Why? Did someone tell you, what are you, a Sagittarius? So your head is...
Shut up, Bolelo. I'm not that stupid. The asshole.
I just feel like my head's weird.
Shut
what
up.
What a ridiculous half hour, Lewis.
Have we been talking nonsense for a whole half hour?
It has been ridiculous.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize to everybody who's used their precious data to listen to this bullshit.
A lot of Beyonce talk.
Oh. Some mornings we have no agenda. Some mornings we have an agenda, we throw it away. It's just such a mess. All right, do you want to get into some headlines since it is 5:30?
Yes.
All right. First of all, this guy in Sea Point, did you hear about this? This guy was feeding the homeless from his car. And they don't know who did this, but someone torched his car. Apparently his car was petrol bombed in the early hours of yesterday morning. And he was sent a whole lot of screen grabs from a Facebook group. It's called the Atlantic Seaboard Action Group, which residents of the Atlantic Seaboard simply didn't want to accept the feeding of homeless people being lawful. So Brett Heron from the Good Party took up the issue and believes this guy was targeted. His name, the owner of the car, Peter Wagenaar, he's in trouble with the police for continuing to distribute food during the lockdown. Apparently... police leadership confirmed the man's feeding scheme was lawful because he eventually got a permit. And now his vehicle's been torched. Now, who would do that? Why would that happen? I'm very confused by this story.
So, having lived in Cape Town for 4 years, I can assure you of this. The Sea Point area and the particular residents who live there cannot stand the sight of poor and homeless. So... I don't want to accuse them, but if I had to point a finger...
You reckon some suburban housefrau went down from her apartment in Sea Point and petrol-bombed a car?
What sort of ridiculous and uncivilized society are we living in?
That's outrageous.
It is outrageous.
If you will torch someone else's car just because they're feeding the homeless. Now listen, what has happened to people being able to just talk to each other and have a discussion and say, hey, listen, dude, you want to distribute food parcels? Go to the park down the road. Don't do it in front of my apartment building. You got queues and queues of homeless people. I understand that could be annoying to property owners, but you don't torch a car. They got to investigate and find out who this is.
I hope they find who this is.
That place has got to be full of CCTV cameras, and they've got to be able to find out who did this, right?
Absolutely. It's on the beachfront there. I mean, that's hotels.
Hold on. I need to blow my nose. This is very exciting for a... For a
thrilling stuff.
Hold on.
Yeah, let's do it over in Durban.
Oh, I don't know. He's coming back. He's going to come back with it. Why? It's actually so far away, but he still heard it.
How exciting. By the way, it's so misty. I'm fine. Why would I? What, do you think I died from blowing my nose?
That was quite a trumpet.
Oh, you could hear it from the next room. I just looked out of the window, and it's misty as hell here.
Well, how does it feel, Gareth, as a Sagittarius?
Shut up.
Bulele, careful, what is wrong with you?
Careful, I don't come and torch you at the studios like those people in secret. Throw a petrol bomb at you, Molotov cocktail.
What goes in your mind, through your mind, as you are preparing whatever it was, a petrol bomb, however you make it, in those 20 minutes?
This just shows you.
A good idea.
Listen, I've always said civilization is a very, very thin layer on the top of all this crazy reptilian behavior. Civilization's this thin layer that we should all aspire to, but it is so thin. And during times like these, when people are under pressure, you realize how thin that layer is. And when you peel the layer of civilization off of people, they turn into the walking dead. It's like Neelan or whatever his name was with that club with the nails in it. The ordinary people who live in a flat in Sea Point might just become the next monster. You don't know this. I mean, to torch someone's car. Look, this guy's probably one of those annoying do-gooders, and I understand that they're annoying, but, like, have a conversation with the guy, and maybe you should get involved and help feed the homeless too, you greedy, selfish son of a bitch.
Not in Sea Point, nah.
But torch his car. It's just insane. That's insane.
That's wild.
I mean, we're speculating about who did it, but who else would it be? Who else would have motive to set fire to his car? You know, people aren't walking around randomly setting fire to cars. And his car was where he used to distribute the food from, so.
And in 2020,
hate to bring this up. I really don't want to sound cynical.
Did you do it, Sia? Did you set fire to his car?
If it turns out that this guy burned his own car to get attention.
Interesting.
That will be very 2020.
Now that's probably quite likely because, you know, 2020 is all about, like, me.
So that would be Jesse Smollett. 2.0.
It would be a Jussie Smollett, yeah. That's what it would Smollett. Be. Smollett. I don't know how you say it, stupid.
Neither do I.
Thanks to him, we know what a hoax looks like now. So everything. That
but I'm sorry to the guy if it's a genuine.
No, but that's a good. That's a good theory. You know what, Sia? You'd be in my detective squad for thinking outside the box.
Oh, thanks.
I didn't think of that. You're very smart. All right. Alex and Santon are most affected by COVID-19, apparently. Those are the two areas in Joburg where people are most at risk. So basically, Bulelo and Jane.
Why are you laughing at that?
Because you're in Santon. I mean, Ravonia is part of Santon, and Jane is in Alex. So we have two of our staff members are in the most... I think Rena lives in Santon, so that's three...
So like Spike does.
Spike, so that's four. Greg doesn't. Dory doesn't. Pinky doesn't.
Mm.
Okay, so we've got four out of our, what, eight people?
Fundo.
Fundo's also five, you see?
Mm. I've never been in the upper echelon for anything, so this is awesome.
You people are responsible for COVID-19. So the Gauteng Health Department says there are 265 confirmed cases of COVID-19 across the Sandton, Houghton, and Alexandra region. The highest number of COVID-19 at 971, according to the Gauteng Health Department. In the latest coronavirus district breakdown, the department said 1,697 infections have been recorded across the province. That's so low. If they've only got 1,697 out of a population of some, what, there must be 6 or 7 million people in Joburg? It's very low.
How many tests have they done?
I don't know. They don't. You see, they don't tell us.
Yeah, that's important. They should tell us. All right?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's lots that the government should be doing that they're not doing. Apparently, they're sitting in a big meeting today with business to determine how long they should take to go to level 3.
No, it's a caucus with the stakeholders. It's not a meeting.
That's right. Good language. You should be in politics.
So I should be a detective, Mbulelo should be in politics. Yeah. Got it.
Home Affairs Minister Aaron Motsoaledi said security guards at the Lindela Repatriation Center tipped off inmates that they wouldn't be at work, and that's how they were able to escape. That Lindela Repatriation Center is probably one of the most evil places in South Africa. When I hear the name Lindela Repatriation Center, I go cold. I don't even want to know what's happening in those places. They call them inmates. You see that?
Mm.
It's not a prison. These are people who are meant to be deported back home because they've been found illegally in the country, right? Sounds to me, and I know this is going to be a horrible comparison. I might regret this, but it sounds like a concentration camp. And everybody who's who's reported about this place in news, we've all heard stories about it. Sounds like hell. Absolute hell. I feel so sorry for the people who are locked up in there. Of course, they've broken the law, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say that these days because people, some people, the Karens and so on, but they break the law, so they deserve the punishment. But this is people who, out of sheer desperation, ran across a border or didn't get their papers done properly. And of course, that's illegal. But to be in that camp, can you imagine what goes on in there?
Sure.
So apparently the escape was caused by two Basutu nationals who wanted to be repatriated, and the guards tipped them that they wouldn't be at work. He said the security company would have to answer for the escape, and steps are now being taken to ensure the safety of guards and inmates. I saw a few inmates with masks. I was there. There were those who didn't. And I ordered that they should be given masks, but they said they're not giving them because they're in a confined space and they were tested. Oh, imagine a disease spreading through a place like that.
Mm.
So Aaron Motsoaledi, who used to be the Minister of Health, is now the Minister of Home Affairs, and he said the department fell victim to a fallout between the guards and their employer. Because, of course, they can't use police because the police are so crap. And the police are too busy arresting joggers and people mowing their lawn. So, you know, doing important stuff like that, that's what the joggers are doing. They're busy running on Sea Point Promenade and then, you know, getting arrested by the very, very busy police.
Sure. Didn't your mind start wandering wild with thoughts of how you'd get arrested yesterday when we were chatting with Jerome?
Nah, I've been arrested before.
Oh.
Remember, I was arrested for speeding.
Right. Lest we forget.
Yeah, and it still comes up every now and then. There's still those people who are like, oh, you drive pretty fast. Like it's the first time I've heard that.
I was freaking out a little. Look, it's a very useful podcast.
What did you think, Sia, while Jerome... This, by the way, yeah, it is a useful podcast. You can go and get it at cliffcentral.com. It's just, what do you do if you're arrested during lockdown? What did you think, Sia? What were you immediately going through in your head?
I always think, and look, never say never, I always think I might be implicated in something that I was a little naive to.
So in other words, that you'd be walking home from the shop and you'd get
caught up. Something more scandalous than that. Like, my sister was brewing cocaine.
brewing it.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you make cocaine? You brew it, you chop it up, you grow it. I don't know. So, and then it will just be so unbelievable on paper when the court records come out. It's like, how did you live in the same house for 40 days and not know that there was cocaine being shipped out of your house? And I'd be like, I don't know. But they, no one would believe me. And that is how Sia ended.
Now, what, you wouldn't survive in prison. Would you start crying if they arrested you?
You. As soon as that jury or the judge would say guilty, goodbye. Freak out.
All right. in other news, because we've still got some headlines to get to, the BBC reporting this morning that a new Banksy artwork appeared at Southampton Hospital. Banksy's this famous artist. Nobody knows who he is. Apparently, some people say they do. But he paints in public places. And then people just find this magnificent artwork. And it's hugely valuable. It's a monochrome painting, 1 square meter. It was hung in collaboration with the hospital's managers in a foyer near the emergency department. It shows a young boy kneeling next to a waste paper basket, dressed in dungarees and a T-shirt. He's discarded his Spider-Man and Batman model figures in favor of new action hero, the NHS nurse. So even Banksy's hopping on that NHS worship society. Fucking NHS. People in Britain worship this thing. They really do. This NHS.
What do you think of it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't live in Britain, so I'm not reliant on it. But I think any time that you need a state organization because you are not responsible for your own health and your own payments for your own medical services, I just think you're in danger. I mean, like any public service, it's going to be good in places and bad in others. But you've got to take what you can because that's all you get. I would prefer the option of being able to shop around for healthcare that I choose. That's why I don't like the idea of an NHI in this country. That's why I don't like the idea of universal medical care in America. I just don't like it being imposed top down. I think people should be able to decide. You should be able to opt in or out. If there is a public service, great. And we should all pay for that, obviously. It should be something that everyone funds, if it can be afforded. But remember, people are sick. People are fat. People don't look after themselves. And then the rest of us have to pay for that. So I don't know. I mean, I don't want to go into a whole discussion around it, but even Banksy's hopped on board now, and there's a picture of this little boy with an NHS hero action doll, and it'll probably be worth a couple of million. So they'll maybe sell that and raise some money for the NHS, for all I know. And then the BBC also reporting Ruth Bader Ginsburg is returning to work from her hospital bed. I can't believe this old biddy is still alive.
Still kicking, huh?
I mean, she looks like a velociraptor at this point, but she's still there and she's still kicking.
When I heard RBD in hospital, my stomach tensed up a little.
Yeah, she's in hospital. She's 87 years old. She's obviously on the Supreme Court in the United States. They make that movie about her that I watched, that horrible movie. Her life is so boring. She basically...
Didn't you say you enjoyed it?
Maybe you caught me on a PC day. She did nothing. She did nothing. I mean, shame. She was a woman who got admitted to law school, and she was really clever, and she clerked for a couple of good judges. And she became a judge herself. She had this one sterling case where she defended women, and basically just a, wow, look at me, my life's so hard. She didn't have a hard life. Yeah, watch that movie. You'll see her life was completely unremarkable.
She was high up in the Supreme Court.
Unremarkable.
Wasn't she like second in charge? I stand to be corrected.
Unremarkable.
Be second in
charge. Jeez. Okay, right. Darren. I mean.
Old dinosaur.
Old Ginsburg.
Anyway, watch her because she's still alive and she's still, she says she's still working from a hospital bed. So she's still there. She's received hospital treatments a number of times in recent years, but has returned swiftly to work on each occasion. Supreme Court justices serve for life or until they choose to retire. And supporters have expressed concern that if anything were to happen to RBG, then a more conservative judge might be appointed by Trump to replace her. President Trump is just rubbing his hands together. He's not wishing for her to die, but he can't wait.
She's 10 years older than Joe Biden.
Yeah, exactly.
She is 14 years older than President Trump and 7 years older than Nancy Pelosi.
She's Nancy Pelosi. She's looking worse and worse by the day. Have you seen her press conferences?
Nancy's 80 on the dot.
Oy, oy, oy. 80 years old.
The Ginsburg has done more for society than all of those combined.
Yeah, I agree with you. Oh. Well, no, I don't agree with you, actually.
Go ahead.
No, I just don't agree. She's maybe done a commensurate amount to Joe Biden and Donald Trump. They've been lawmakers. Well, in Joe Biden's life, he's been a lawmaker. Donald Trump has won at everything he's done. Businessman, TV star, president. I mean, that's a hell of a life.
Tan of the year.
Orange man.
What? Rich guy becomes richer versus a woman who ascended in a ridiculously patriotic time.
So there are lots of rich people in the world. None of them rise to be president of the United States just by sheer force of personality. And he couldn't buy that. He got there because he's a tremendously charismatic guy. Asshole, yes, but tremendously charismatic guy. Don't take away from him. If you die at Donald Trump's age, let's say he dies in 10 years from now,
yeah,
and he looks back in his life, he can say, sure, I've lived. Right?
For sure.
Yeah, so don't let's pretend that he's on the same scale as Ruth Bader Ginsburg. All she's done is been in law her whole life.
All right, fair enough.
Come on. Come on. All right, so there we go. So I hope she. I don't want Ruth Bader Ginsburg to die.
Neither do I.
But she's so old. My God, she's old. All right. let me see what else we've got here. We've got so much to do this morning. It's actually crazy. We were talking shit for a whole half hour. So I want to talk to Sean Sanders and get Revix done because we haven't spoken to him for like 2 weeks and he had a birthday in between, among other things. So let's go straight to Sean now because it's time for us to check in on what Revix are up to. The world is changing. Your investments should be changing too. If they aren't, just ask yourself why. In a market that we've never seen before, I mean, the volatility is just insane. Don't guess. Diversify. Don't be an idiot. Now, Revix is an intelligent investment platform that allows anyone anywhere to build a diversified portfolio or a bundle of assets in just a few clicks. Investing is as easy as signing up, choosing an asset, and then watching your portfolio grow. Now, when we spoke to Sean the first time when he launched Revix last year, they were doing Bitcoin and they were selling various indices of cryptocurrencies. Really interesting, really good investment. They had some special deals on at that time and lots of people took advantage. So maybe you're still sitting there at the moment and you're thinking, well, if the world really goes crazy, it's a good idea to own some cryptocurrency. But now, in the volatility of the markets as they are at the moment, you might also be thinking, hell, I need some gold. And gold is difficult to buy, as we know. You either have to buy Kruger Rands, or you can do what Revix are doing, and they will let you in on a balanced, essentially it's like a gold equivalent in terms of a cryptocurrency token, which is completely linked to gold. And Sean, this to me sounds like something that only you guys could have come up with because it's a brilliant way of investing in gold. You could decide to do it for as little as $500. You can go all the way up to, I don't know, 10, 20, 30, 100. You want to explain this? Did I explain it well enough? Did I get the gist of it out there?
Morning, Gareth. Yeah. How are you doing, firstly?
I'm good, man. Just explain the gold token in proper language, not the way I would.
Sure. So Pax Gold, I mean, I would love to take the credit for this. I would love for Revix to take the credit for the launch of Pax Gold. But no, that was done by a fantastic company based in New York called Paxos. Paxos is a registered trust company. And what they've done really is they've taken gold that sits in London vaults. They've tokenized the legal ownership. And that sounds complicated, but really all that means is that they've taken the legal ownership right to that gold and they've put that on the Ethereum blockchain, and we've been able to then link into a variety of different exchanges around the world, consolidate all of those different exchanges to one neat offering on Revix, and that allows somebody to come along and say, right, I want to invest 500,000 rand if they want.
Sure, if you want to.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got
into
that,
gold,
if you've got
and
that
you get
lying around.
Physical gold. Yeah.
So, Sean, before we even get into the questions for this morning, because there are all kinds of things I want to ask you, and I've even got some questions from one or two of our listeners here, but what is the gold price? What is the Bitcoin price? How have they been performing in the last 2 weeks since we last spoke to you?
Sure. So gold has been a little bit more boring. It's been hovering around $1,700. Currently, it's at $1,720.
Okay.
There's been some pretty insane calls out from the likes of Bank of America and Goldman Sachs predicting gold to run anywhere between 15% all the way through to 100%.
Wow.
So, I mean, take that for whatever it's worth. So gold's quite an interesting play at the moment because, you know, you're seeing stock markets back at quite ridiculous levels. I mean, I'm going to just say that where stock markets are now, we're looking at pretty much the same price as this time, in September last year.
Really?
Does that make sense to you? I mean, that's where the S&P 500 is. I mean, does that really make sense to you? The economy's had a drastic change. You've got, 22% unemployment in the US, and the stock market's, you know, disconnected from the real world once again.
Yeah, so that's probably going to come in for a correction at some point.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay, and Bitcoin, I mean how are the cryptocurrency markets looking generally?
So April was a fantastic month for crypto in general. Bitcoin was up about 30%. It's had a small rally since then. Even in May, it's up about another 4.5%. So it's been a very good time in the world of crypto.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at the other cryptocurrencies as well, Ethereum, Ripple, EOS, all of these have actually increased even more than Bitcoin. So it seems that investors are looking for alternative assets. They're looking for gold. They're looking for crypto. They're looking for some other interesting opportunities that exist out there. So they're not correlated to the traditional markets.
Okay.
And I think that's why you've seen a lot of interest in the Bitcoin space, not to mention, the halving that's taking place.
All right. So this is the first question that I have for you this morning from somebody else who said, can you please ask Sean, what is the Bitcoin halving and what is the point of it? What does it mean?
Okay. So I'm going to go on a little rant here. So one of the characteristics that gave rise to the fascination with Bitcoin is the way its creator, Satoshi Nakamoto, tied the creation of Bitcoin to the work needed to create them. And this was done in order to prevent counterfeiting. Mm-hmm. And what's really important is to understand that new Bitcoin are generated by so-called miners. And these miners use computers with incredible amounts of processing power to perform complex calculations in order to validate the transactions on the Bitcoin blockchain. So this is where people get super confused, but it's actually dead simple. So let's just take the jargon out of this and let's break it down. So Gareth, let's say you send me a Bitcoin. Now, how do you prove that you actually sent this Bitcoin to me and you're not gupting or, I mean, like scamming me and then going to send the same
Bitcoin? That's a verb now, gupting.
Go on. How do I prove it? Well, there's got to be a record.
How do I know that you're not scamming me and going to send this Bitcoin to someone else?
And everyone else in the network has to verify that that is exactly what happened.
Exactly. And now, this is the job of the Bitcoin miner. So they take your transaction and a couple other transactions that have taken place and they validate them. So they prove that these transactions are actually legitimate.
Okay.
Now they do this by tying one bundle of transactions to another, where this bundle of transactions is known as a block.
Yeah.
The block part of blockchain.
Right.
And the miners earn some Bitcoin for doing this, which is known as a block reward. So to get back to the halving part, a halving, which is sometimes referred to as a halvening in crypto land, God knows why we like to always change things up. And this is a planned reduction in the rewards these miners receive. So halvings are programmed into the Bitcoin code. And they happen every 4 years or so.
So the miners are going to earn a half of what they earned for doing the same amount of processing a year ago.
So actually, if you look back in 2009, miners received 50 Bitcoin per block. That's about 9 million Rand at today's prices. That reward was reduced to 25 in the first halving in 2012 and then to 12.5 in 2016. The next week, that was the 6.25, which is, nine times less Bitcoin than what you would have earned in 2009 terms.
So does this mean less people will want to mine Bitcoin, or does it mean that those miners are satisfied with that and they knew this was part of the plan from the get-go and they're going to carry on? And what does it do to the actual price of Bitcoin?
Yeah, so that is a very big question with regard to kind of what the miners will do. A lot of miners have been preparing for this. A lot of people say that this is already priced in some ways. Other people say that no, there's going to be a lot of miners that go bankrupt. Naturally, they're not earning the same kind of income that they were before. But I mean, if you're looking at why Bitcoin is up so much in April through to May now, and that's a matter of, you know, heated debate. And I actually can't answer that, to be honest. It's tough to say, but you know, a big part of it is definitely media publicity speculating around this event. Okay. I mean, this is a big growth story. And if you're looking at previous halvings, the Bitcoin price did rise. In 2012, Bitcoin gained about 8,000% in the 12 months following the halving. And then in 2016, it rose almost 1,000% in the 12 months following the halving. So, I mean, logically, if you have fewer Bitcoin being created and you assume that the demand from the past doesn't change, well, then you have greater demand relative to supply. And I suppose from an economic theory, the price should move up. But the big question, you know, as I say, you know, trying to be as transparent as possible, but, you know, the full value of the halving, is it priced into Bitcoin's current price? I mean, we don't know. This could increase, you know, as you've seen in the past, many times from where it is now, we've seen a mere 30% increase. Could this go a lot further? Could the price pull back? I mean, that is why it's such an interesting asset class, because, you know, it's an exciting time to already just be in the space.
All right. One last thing before we let you go. You've launched a gold token. We know we can buy cryptocurrencies and indices of cryptocurrencies, but now you've also launched a dollar token. So quickly tell us about that.
Yeah. So 2019 was really the year of stable coins. And there were, I honestly couldn't even tell you, probably over 40 different stable coins that were launched. What we've done is we've taken the best one that we could find, the one that's the most trusted, yeah. USDC, so it's USD coin, and we've launched it on our platform. So we had a lot of South African investors that were kind of sick and tired of seeing their rands depreciate on a month-to-month basis, and they said, well, listen, we would love to be able to invest in a hard currency, even if I'm converting a small portion of my paycheck every month to some sort of hard currency and just holding it there. Even if I sell out of my cryptocurrency bundles, you know, one of the bundles that we offer, or maybe Pax Gold that we offer, you know, I would rather be in US dollars rather than in rands.
For sure.
And that's really just kind of why we've launched USDC. So it's pegged 1-to-1 to the US dollar. Its value stays true to the US dollar. It's really nice when you're South African to kind of have that, yeah. The comfort that you've got some hard currency.
Well, Sean, thank you very much. As always, it's good to catch up with you to have you explain these things to us and make it just a little bit more understandable. And good luck for the week and happy birthday for the other day.
Thanks, Gareth. I appreciate it. Cool, and man. Yeah, have a great week too.
All right. Brilliant. Sean Sanders and Revix. You can find out more by going to their social media at Revix Invest on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's one word. REVIX Invest. And you can also obviously go and check out Revix.com, which is their site. And you can find out whether you'd like to register, sign up for free, verify your ID, add funds, select the bundle of your choice. And as you can see, they've got lots of options there. Go and talk to them. The Burning Platform is coming up next. A very exciting edition this morning. We're joined by Unati Kwaza, who you might have seen on social media. She's been very, very vocal about the plight of the poor in townships in South Africa. I thought it would be a great idea to talk to Unati Kwaza and find out what she has to say about what's going on in lockdown. And we'll talk about all the other things that are happening in South Africa this morning. All the usual current affairs stories, and Canthan Pillay, our returning champion, will join us too. So lots to talk about today. It's all coming up on The Burning Platform next. CliffCentral.com. Don't forget you can get all of our podcasts on cliffcentral.com. And if you haven't heard some of the series that we're doing, you're missing out. Tuesday, we launched a new episode of Blind History, which I know is one of the most popular of all of our series. If you like Blind History, you can go and listen to the latest one in there as well. All of that's coming up with The Burning Platform next on cliffcentral.com. It is 5 after 7.
Cliffcentral.com.